Hello, everybody. Welcome back to my live community radio show around Europe and now in Galway, Mondays. I want to introduce in two special artists today. So please, everybody want to know and warm welcome to David. Yay!
The crowd goes wild.
Fabuloso! Fantastic! He is one of the most incredible showmen around Australia. And now he's here. So, a warm welcome, David. Thanks for coming and to share with us this beautiful moment.
It's good to be your own fans.
Congratulations. You are an amazing artist. Everybody was dancing freely. This is on the streets. Incredible, incredible. Congratulations. I love this way. Fantastic. Tell me, please, or tell us, what is Silent Disco Walking Tours?
Yeah, good. Well, basically, most people might know of Silent Disco, where everybody wears headphones and everyone's listening to the same music at the same time. So normally in Silent Disco, there's three channels and there's three different types of music, but in my one, there's only one channel and I have a microphone and we go through the streets. So I'm playing music and I'm also talking and making fun and improvising and creating little scenarios in the street, like choreography and little fashion parades and sing-alongs and dancing and all sorts of things. And so the whole point is we're interacting with the place, with that street, in that moment, on that day, with that crowd of people. So it's very much responding to the sight, to the crowd, to the music, to their reaction, to the vibe in the air. And we're spreading good vibrations. You know that song? Good, 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 good vibrations. So that's all about vibration, because the whole world is about vibration. You were talking before about changing the world, and music is a way of sound, and music is vibration. And when people are dancing in community, they're embodied, and they're emitting good vibrations, literally, in the street. And so there's a lot of people watching us, whether they're just walking by or sitting at a cafe. And so they pick up the vibe. And you can see it when you go down the street, especially because I'm at the front and I get to see the beginning when they first see us. And their eyes light up, their face lights up. Because some part of them knows on a deeper level, this is... I have this in me too, even though they don't think, they might be thinking, I would never do that. But on some level, on some primordial level, we've all been dancing in the streets forever. Like we, you know, we live in the, sorry, I'm going on a rant here. Is that all right?
No, because I really like it because this is another question. Yeah. In which place in Europe are you going to do this show? Oh, in Australia.
Yeah.
Tell me about please, or tell us.
Yeah, well, after this, I go to Edinburgh, and then I go to Dusseldorf, and then in London and Brighton and Melbourne, all around Australia.
Wow, incredible, incredible, yeah. David.
I know, incredible, yeah. The thing is, wherever I do it, it's quite magnetic, so people want more of it, and... yeah, so there's a magic to it. And I guess what I was saying before is that because people have always danced in the streets and we forget that we live in this digital era now. We don't forget, but, you know, we live in this digital era. Even TV has only been around not even 100 years yet. And before that, people used to make their own entertainment. Like people, you know, there wasn't electricity, there wasn't TV. So people would just go to each other's houses or go to the community halls or the squares or the streets or whatever and dance and play and make their own performance. So I feel like my work is tapping into that a little bit and reminding people that they have the creativity within them, that they know how to dance, they know how to move. And there's another, my background was also in improvisation. So there's a lot of improvisation in my work, in the sense that you never know what's around the next corner when I'm walking down the street. I don't know, it could be a busker, it could be a drunk guy, it could be schoolgirls, it could be politicians, it could be anything. It could be a car. There's so many things that could happen in a street. And so that's kind of part of the exciting thing. Like if there's a car coming or a truck coming up the street, suddenly we part into two lines and we'll do like a car wash movement and pretend to wash the car. So just things like that. It brings a sense of play to the situation. And I like that it's very alive and fresh, because it's not pre-organized. I don't know what's going to happen on that day. So it's all made up on the spot.
Incredible. It's, I'm really lucky to hear you. It's amazing. Because you are originally from Australia.
Yeah.
What continent offer more opportunities for artists? Europe or Australia?
It's hard for me to answer because I am Australian, but I think both of them have good opportunities for performing artists. I think most of the performing artists I meet spend the European summer in Europe and the Australian summer in Australia.
Really good way.
And then interestingly, not many go to the US, because US is, as a contrast, makes it very hard for you to go in there. It's very expensive and it's very complicated, and whereas Europe makes it quite easy for street and theatre performances. Traditionally, Europe's always welcomed travelling artists, because that's part of the open-mindedness of Europe, and you can see it, you can feel it in the air, like people really welcome international artists. And I think Australia has picked up on that same idea. But often I see there's a lot of Australians travelling around Europe in the festival circuit.
What do you prefer in Europe or in Australia? Or tell me about, is it the same? Or maybe we are some difference? Or I have no idea what will be the same for you, or will be much better, no?
As a performer or in general?
In general.
Yeah. I think Europe, what I've noticed is Australia, they say that Australia, America and Canada and New Zealand are like frontier cultures, meaning they're still finding themselves and they're still creating their identity. Whereas Europe, it feels like it's already done that, and it's more settled, and it's more, it's older, and you can feel that. Like, it feels like Europe feels a bit more comfortable in its own skin, whereas Australia is still, you know, in one way that's exciting because it's more innovative and more creative. But there's kind of an insecurity or an immaturity there that it's trying to prove itself to the world. And whereas partly Europe, this is very generalizing here, but Europe can be feel a bit more low-key and a bit more just comfortable, and it's just like, yeah, whatever, you know, we're just having the good life. I feel like Europe's a lot more about, you know, cafe life and connecting with friends and just the more basic, simple things, a bit more old school. And Australia is that too, but Australia, I feel like we've got a bit more of the America vibe, which is a bit more commercial, and it's a bit more, you know, the money and the time is money, and it's a bit more of that rat race thing. Whereas here, I feel there's a more ease, a bit slower here in a way. Depends, maybe London's not like that, but, you know, Spain's definitely like that, and I've just been in Berlin, that was like that, and Paris and Amsterdam, you know.
Incredible.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's one of the most beautiful thing he has. He was interacting with the public, but on the street, not only with us. Tell me about why do you use this way, or why, or tell me.
Okay.
Tell us.
I think for me, the street is important because it's one of the civic you know, this the sense of civic place and public place, because we live in a world that's very privatized now and commercialized, and there's not many, they call it third spaces, like there's home, work, and then what's the public realm now, because often it's in cafes and restaurants or private spaces. So the street is one of the last public, especially in a city, one of the last public, general public spaces. So I like that we're playing in that in the street, and I like that there's almost an edge, because we're disrupting the street briefly, but with joy and fun and singing and thing. But sometimes, mostly like 99% of the time, everyone's happy with that. 1% of the time, they might not be. But basically, I like that idea that we're showing you that you can dance in the streets, you can express yourself, you don't have to just be a pedestrian and just be very monotonous. You can also play in the street, because that's this is the world, this is the real world, and we're out in the actual outdoor real world, and this is what's left of it after all the urbanization, and it's still a backyard, you can play in it. And I've just come from Berlin, and they have, I don't know if you know, they have an old airport that's been abandoned, and now the community's taken it over, and it's like a giant backyard, and like people just come and do barbecues and grow veggies and play and roller skate and fly kites and all sorts of stuff. And it's kind of, I love that, because it's kind of saying we don't need, I mean, it's okay to have paid entertainment as well, but it's not the only option. Like, we used to make our own fun. So that's what I'm passionate about, is how do we create our own fun and stay in touch with our spontaneity and our play and our imagination as adults, not just kids. Because it's okay, you know, in the West, it's okay that kids are like that, but we think as adults we're the mature ones and we stand back and watch the kids play. But I'm interested in helping adults to play again.
The people, I think all people love it. Because the people like it when have the opportunity to be with you and close to you. This is amazing. So congratulations. This is, you are unique. So thank you. Yeah,
thank you. Well, look, the other part of my background is as a facilitator. So I think of myself as facilitating the space for them to play. And it's not just about, I mean, yes, there is me, but I'm only offering an invitation. So they still do it. And that's what I really bring to this, is that I'm holding space and inviting them to play, to find their version of play. They don't have to be me. Like, they do their version of play and their version of singing and dancing and stuff. And I'm just there to be in the fun outfit, so they can point to me and go, oh, we're with him, you know, and not feel embarrassed.
Everybody needs to see him, because he's really, really amazing. How do you choose your music? Do you have preference for any particular artist, or tell us?
I would say it's been an interesting process. Look, we mostly play songs that people know. I personally prefer stuff that's warmer and bassier and it's got more soul to it, rather than, I don't like a lot of modern contemporary music, especially with auto-tune kind of singing. It's more like disco and funk and but also some current stuff as well. For me, it's about what's life affirming, like the lyrics and the vibe of the music is upbeat. And but also it's got to have a bit of journey to it. Like it can go a bit up and then down and then around the corner, and like it can't just be the same. It's not just about up, 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 party, party, party all the time either. It's about, you know, dropping us down, slowing down, then picking up, going a bit quirky, coming back to play, then play ABBA or something, and then, you know. So it's interestingly, this morning I had all these young girls. They were all about 11 years old or something, and there was about 10 of them. And I immediately thought, oh no, like, I bet you I don't know what songs are popular with them.
You have this capacity.
So then I went and chatted to them, and I said, oh, what songs are you after? And they said ABBA, Queen, Michael Jackson.
They were fantastic.
Like, perfect. That's right in my sweet zone. I'm happy with that, because the Michael Jackson video is out at the moment. And a lot of young kids like older music. So I'm more of an 80s, 90s guy, 70s, 80s, 90s. And a lot of the young kids love it, because I feel like they recognize that a lot of the current music's lacking that deeper soul that the older music had. And so I feel very blessed that I grew up in the 80s, and that's really intrinsic to my in my being, and I feel the beat of it and all that synthesizers and all the house music and all the different stuff that came through. There's a lot of experimentation that happened then, and I feel like now it's got a lot more, like a bit more formulaic in the way they produce songs, whereas I think then they were creating new quirky songs. Like I was listening to a song yesterday, Send Me an Angel from the 80s, remember that one? Like that's a bit niche, but it's such a weird song. Like what the hell, I love that song. Like it's so weird, like it's kind of, do you believe in heaven? It's got all this build up, and then it goes into the chorus, and yeah, I love all that kind of stuff in music, you know.
It is incredible, the power of the music. I would like it's everybody want to see the face of everybody. Incredible, they are so happy listening to music because thanks to you everybody think maybe they are an star or an important musician or something similar. Incredible.
I think there's something about the silent disco is that because we're all got headphones on, in a way you're in your own head, but we're also in each other's head because we're all in the same thing at the same time. So there's something absurd and funny about that. And also, yeah, you feel safe because you've got the headphones on, you can't hear the outside world, and yet we're making a spectacle of ourselves. So it's quite turning everything inside out, because on one hand you are in your own little bubble, on the other hand we're all in a collective situation. So, and then I'm aware of that, so I'm conducting all that, so it's quite a privileged position to be in.
Do you usually improvise, or do you prepare or program or outline before going to the street?
A bit of both. I'd say my start is quite programmed, like it's the same. Usually my start is similar because that way I get to kind of feel into the group and get to, you know, and arrive myself. And then after that it goes a bit improvised. I've got some basic structures that are similar in each tour. But where and when I place those depends a lot on the street. Like, for example, today, Galway is very crowded and there's a lot of buskers. And so the opportunities for space to open up and do a particular thing that requires a wider space, I have to work with what's going on in the street on that day and what time when the previous song finishes. And there's a lot of random things going on in my head at any time.
And another beautiful thing, today you were started with introducing with yoga.
Do
you practice this sport or this yoga? Tell me about.
It's fantastic. It's been a big part of my life. It's a very important part of my
me
life.
Too.
Yeah, great. And so when I started comedy, I was doing a comedy show about yoga. So it's called Happy Yoga. So it's kind of sending up the seriousness of yoga. So I'm a funny one because on one hand, there's a part of me that's quite serious and really reverent about spirituality and yoga, but there's another part of me that's very playful and sort of sees the funny side of it and the West, the earnestness of the West trying to be really pure and yogic and everything. So great. And but I think a true yogi has that sense of humor because that is also part of yoga, is to see through the seriousness of it all, that they both coexist. Like there is an importance to the seriousness of it and there's also not. And so I love the idea that everything matters and nothing matters, coexisting. And the other part of yoga I would say that applies to my work is nervous system regulation, because yoga helps me to regulate my nervous system. And I think as a facilitator of this work, we are holding space for everyone's nervous system. We're not fully responsible for all of it because everyone's got their own process, but the group process has to be regulated. And I'm really watching that, because if the group's really anxious or if they're too excited, like they might be a bit drunk and too all over the shop, I have to kind of rein them in. Or if they're too shy, I need to just be to go slow with them and build them up slowly. So that's the kind of stuff I'm thinking about a lot, and I'm feeling it in my body. And then that also informs what song I play or when I bring the big song in or the slow song in, etc. Because it's about, you want to build the trust and the safety, And then once you've got through that, which is usually about the first third of the piece, then they're eating out of my hands. I can do anything, but I've taken a bit of work to build up the trust for each group, and so I enjoy that because that's also tapping into the animal intelligence of the group and myself. And so I think that's about self-awareness. Like, I need to bring, that's where the yoga helps me, because it helps me get in touch with my breath, my body, my own primal nature, and then I'm more conducive to what's going on in the group and feeling that, because we're like a herd of animals, literally. Like, we're a little herd going down the street, and I'm the mother hen. And so, you know, whatever mood I put us into and what song I play, like today I played on the next tour after you, I think it was, I played Pink Panther, and we went all slow and slinky and like sneaky down the street. So just that's a good example of just shifting the energy, and I'm giving them little suggestions, and then they got into it and really loved it. So, and then after that I played something more upbeat. And,
wow, this is the reason you are unique. Because you are using another expression, another way, another things completely different, like another artist. Yeah, so fantastic. Congratulations.
Well, yeah, thank you. And I think the other part of my background was clowning. So clown is an important part of that, because that's the absurdity and the making fun of and the subversiveness and the lightheartedness and the playfulness. But the clown has many sides to him or her. Like, it's very, there's the dark, sad clown and there's the happy clown. So I think that's also been part of the deeper story of In the Street. Like, there was always the court jester. You know, when there was, in the Italian era, there was the royal parade, and then there was the king and all the royalty, and at the end of the parade was the court jester who was making fun of the royalty. And so, yeah, I think that role is always important, especially in our current era where things get very serious.
What is your project in the near future, David?
Well, I've started doing a new thing called slow-mo disco. So I make it very slow and very, a more a deeper experience. And so, yeah, I'm working on a new project where I'm taking people on a very slow music. It's quite meditative. Also still has a bit of sense of humor in it. And it's kind of about wonder and curiosity and gratitude, like watching the street from a gratitude point of view and just observing and being still and not necessarily all upbeat. And so I'm still working on that, but I'm finding it's got an interesting path.
I like it. If everybody want to say or tell us where and when everybody can you find you, because he's number one, the showman.
Thank you. Well, my big event in Europe is Edinburgh Fringe Festival every year in August. So that's the whole of August. I'm in Edinburgh Fringe. So look up Guru Dudu, Silent Disco. There's another one. Another guy's copied me.
Guru was Guru singing?
Guru Dudu.
Guru Dudu?
Yeah, Dudu. So Dudu is a
Spanish speaker, but okay.
Yeah, D-U-D-U, Guru Dudu. So Dudu is a nickname for David. And so, yeah, I'm Guru Dudu. So there's that one. I'm also at Dusseldorf Arts Festival in September, and I'm at Galway International Arts Festival every year in July.
Incredible, because I saw him 7 years ago, and you are here and again and again.
Okay, so. Yeah. Well, usually wherever we go, they ask us back again year after year because it becomes very popular. And I love that idea of visiting places 1 year each year, because a lot of people come back, bring their partners and their friends and kids and all the different exactly. age groups. And
everybody love you because you are completely amazing.
Oh, thank you. You're very good for my ego.
I like it. Everybody, when he was finished, everybody was taking a picture with you. It's like, oh, David, I love you so much.
Yeah, well, that's nice. But I think it's more that they tap in. For me, it's about universal joy. And in that moment, they're in their high, you know, they're in their life high moment, and they're feeling great and on a high. And I probably embody that, so they want to remember that moment. So I think that's really special.
It is, because I'm sure, do you love your job when you are working? So your job, do you love your job?
Yeah, of course, yeah, yeah, absolutely.
We were talking, when somebody is working with a lot of love, this energy is incredible. Everybody feeling.
Yeah. Well, they say, you know, one of the best ways to be happy is to make other people happy. So I feel that. Like, and I do observe that. Look, one thing I try to teach my my colleagues who also, that's okay. One thing I try to impress upon them is the idea that to receive that praise and good vibes from the people, because sometimes people come up to us after a tour and they're like, oh my God, that was so great, that was so great. And it takes a bit of self-esteem to actually receive that. Like, it sounds contradictory, but I've noticed some of the people who don't have that or just go, oh yeah, thank you, and then I'll move on and just sort of not receive it, whereas I'm really strong on, no, receive that, like, both for yourself and for them, because that's a vulnerable moment that they're saying that, and if you don't receive that, that's almost a little bit denying them their celebrating their moment of discovering that and to share that. Like, because them sharing that, it's not only about me, it's also about them saying, I'm feeling great. And so me saying thank you and really being present to that is also honoring their high and just going, I see you in that, and I meet you in that, you know? So it's subtle, but it's important, you know?
Oh, yeah. I like so much to hear that, so wow. So tell us, what is the worst and the best thing in your job?
The worst and
the best thing, the worst and the best things or aspect, yeah, in your job.
Okay. Worst, well, I guess sometimes we do get a bit of pushback, especially in Edinburgh, because there's I think we were talking before about Galway and Edinburgh being cold, dark, wintry places, and so there is a bit of a drug and alcohol problem here, and so sometimes you get those people that, because we're shining so much light and literally singing out the joy of how great it is, and if they're in a dark place, they can be a bit, you know, aggro or so. And I think we're getting more of that in general in Melbourne and other places too, like the odd, usually men who are pissed off that they don't want to see, especially predominantly women, having fun in the street at once. So they push back, and sometimes they come and, you know, be a bit aggressive towards us or different things. So it doesn't happen a lot, but it's happening more often. So it's something we have to watch and have a bit of security protocols for. So that would be the worst thing. I think the best thing would be, I think, like you said before, you know, the people that come up afterwards and talk about how amazing, what a transformative moment it is. And often I find at the start of a tour, it's the ones who are the most anxious who end up having the biggest transformation later, because they're kind of holding something in, but something's told them to come, and they've come, and then they get a shock how quickly they feel liberated. And it's a bit like being intoxicated, and you don't need to have alcohol, but the music and the environment and the whole situation just elevates you into this transcendent space. And I can see that happen. And then I watch them afterwards and I think, wow, that I feel so satisfied, you know, when they speak to them at the end of the tour and they come up, and literally some of them will say, that is the best thing I've ever done in my whole life. or this year or this, you know, month, whatever. But yeah, and in that moment they mean that. And so that's really beautiful. Yeah.
So unfortunately we have no any more time today, but before leaving I would like it to say, and again, please, where and when everybody looking for you can find you.
Well, if you just look online, Guru Dudu, GURUDUDU, and on the social medias and stuff, we are mostly based in Australia, UK, and some of the European cities when I travel around, so I'm not everywhere, but so that's probably the best way to find us.
Right. I unfortunately hate that, because I'm so happy with you.
No. That's okay. Well,
but we don't have more time today. So it's time to say see you soon, yes. Hasta luego, bye bye, arrivederci, in Germany.
Don't blame it on the sunshine, don't blame it on the moonlight, don't blame it on the good times, blame it on the boogie. It's all about the boogie. The boogie is where it's all about, boogie wonderland. Get down and boogie, everybody. That's the main thing.
Aloha.
Okay, aloha.
Hi, thank you so much for being with us. Was an amazing moment. Thank you. We appreciate a lot. And I hope thank you to my Jose Antonio, to my engineer. So I hope everybody want to listen to you in my web, www.casajusta.es in Espanol, and social media, NGO, Just Cause, Casa Justa, in the postcard. Everybody want to see in my web, www.causajusta.es. Ah, it's difficult. But okay, doesn't matter. It's life, and it's not easy. It's not easy, especially when I'm in front, across to the famous and superstar like you.
Oh, thank you very much. I love it. Thanks for your beautiful energy and reflection on my work. That's great. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so see you soon. See you soon.
Thank you. Ciao.
Hasta prontito, ciao.
How will I